Well, I want to discuss this morning spiritual growth. Growth in God. But allow me to start off with discussing growth in general terms. I mean, when a live seed, first of all, let me say this, that the children's ministry is canceled this morning. So all the children will remain here today. This might even be a question for the children. When a live seed, a seed that you plant, that you sow into the ground, what can we expect to happen? Any children? Ricardo? Growth, right? A spontaneous, supernatural explosion takes place. That is the growth process. It begins. You know, it should be obvious to us all what growth means. But I took the liberty this morning to define it for you in Webster so that we can have all of the same understanding. Growth is defined as the process of increasing in size. It is the upward growth, the process of developing physically, emotionally, mentally, and spiritually. Take the seed, for example. If a seed is sown, a live seed, it has to be in a seed that's alive. It's sown into the ground. You know, we water it. We protect it from things like bugs and weather conditions and insects that might kill it. But after we do that, what happens? It grows to a full-size plant. We cannot expect a dead seed to grow. If we plant a dead seed, we cannot expect it to grow. Amen? So we can determine from this that life, that growth is the evidence of life. Let me say that again. Growth is the evidence of life. You know, I was planting some flowers just earlier this week, or maybe some part of last week as well, and I was seeding my grass in my garden because I wanted the place to look lovely for the return of my wife. That's usually her task out there, is planting the flowers and making it all pretty and nice and so forth. And plus, I wanted to make some deposits into the love bank. I think I accomplished that. I hope so. But what occurred to me when I was planting and laying the seed in the earth, that something would happen. The earth is made fertile by God to accept the seed and make it grow. The same is true with our hearts. Our hearts are made fertile by God to accept his word. His word is the seed. His word is alive. And Hebrews 4 and 12 will tell us that about God's word. That his word is alive and active, sharper than any double-edged sword, piercing to the dividing of the spirit and soul, the joints and marrows, even to the discerning of the thoughts and intents of the heart. The word of God. So when the word is sown into our heart, something supernatural takes place, and we start the growth in our lives. That's the nature of life in animals. That's the nature of life in plants as well. That is the nature of life in humans. From cradle, the day that we're born, to grave, the day that we leave here, there is a continual growth process from cradle to grave. And that is the way that life works. We can say this even. Where there's life, there's growth. Where there's growth, we know that there's life. That stands repeating and even noting. Where there's growth, there's life. And where there's life, there's growth. You know, there's a caveat to that. There's some of us, although we may be physically alive, but yet we are spiritually dead. Life and growth is a forever changing, evolving, growing, moving forward into eternity. How can we define life? Life is the condition that distinguishes animals, plants, and humans from inorganic matter. Inorganic meaning it's not alive, it's dead. It's just not alive. Including the capacity for growth, for reproduction, functional activity, and continual change. Preceding death, whether it be the natural death here, or I should say preceding destination or eternal life. So we can assert that when growth stops, life stops. When growth slows down, life slows down. You know, it's a man's natural course in life that after a certain age, things start to regress. We stop growing, we slow down, and eventually we die. Right? Where there's no growth, and where life, where growth stops, we eventually die. That makes sense. Now, here's a controversial question here. When does life start for humans? When does life start for humans? People may argue that life starts on the day of conception. When a male seed interacts with a female egg, that is conception, that life starts. It's ironic that when I was preparing for this message and I was driving down the road and I was behind this vehicle driving up to the gate of the base, Lakenheath, if you're familiar with Lakenheath, and it got to a stopping point, and I was able, the Lord just drew my attention to a sticker that was on the rear window. And the sticker read, "Motherhood begins at conception." Isn't that something, how you're just drawn to something when you're thinking about it? Now, apparently that mother equates conception, growth, and life together. In fact, her motherhood journey starts at conception. That's one, day of conception. Where does life start for humans? Number two, during pregnancy. Somewhere during the trimester, the first trimester, second trimester, or the third trimester, somewhere in that pregnancy, someone may argue, that's when life starts. That's when we start to see growth. And number three, even some may argue that life starts at birth. When a newborn takes his first inhale, exhale, him or her, of air, that life starts. But let me give you a fourth one. Let me give you something to think about here. If you will, turn your Bibles to Jeremiah 1:5. Jeremiah 1:5 says, "Before I formed you in the womb. This is a word from God to Jeremiah. Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I sanctified you. I ordained you a prophet to the nations. To better interpret this passage, we have to understand that God's very words are alive and active, and we just established that in Hebrews. That means that his thoughts are alive and active. If he knew the prophet Jeremiah before he formed him in his mother's womb, he had conception in his thoughts and mind. God had conceived him before he formed him. And I tend to believe the word of God in Jeremiah. That's not the point, though, that I want to make here today. But if anyone is interested, I am a pro-life person. I am a pro-choice person. I believe God is pro-life and pro-choice. And I say that because Deuteronomy let us know that God set before us life and death, blessings and cursings. Even in the Garden of Eden, God set before Adam the tree of life and the tree of knowledge of good and evil. That, folks, is choice. We have free will. Life is choice driven. Now, pro-life, what does the verse says? Therefore, choose life. God is saying, Adam, CEO, you ever see the kids play the game where they put a marble in their hand and they get, you have to guess which one to pick. And then some of them even cheat. They say, pick this one. Choose this one. That's what God said. Choose life. That's pro-life. But like I said, that's not my point. Regardless of when life starts, we can all agree that at some starting point, living things begin to grow. I believe that we have three starting points in life. One we just talked about, conceived in the mind of God, explained in Jeremiah. Our natural birth from man and woman, and then to be born again into the spiritual body of Jesus Christ, to be followers and disciples of Jesus Christ. Think about this. If the natural body does not grow as it is designed to grow, it will not function properly. It's not a far stretch to believe that if the spiritual body does not grow as it is designed to grow, it too will not function properly. So I ask this, what in the world, what is happening to individuals? What is happening to church folk? What is happening to the body of Christ? A lot of church communities, we see that they can experience large numbers of congregational growth in terms of numbers in the thousands and tens of thousands. But is that spiritual growth? Is that spiritual growth? I believe that there are two things that stop us and hinder us from growing spiritually in Christ. That is the spirit of retardation and the spirit of stunting. Retardation and stunting. And no, I'm not talking about those that are mentally challenged. But what I'm talking about is retardation is defined as the act of retarding, hindrances, the rate of deceleration or the slowing down of mental functioning and bodily movement. Stunting. Stunting can be defined as lower than average height for a child's age. You got someone that's 15 years old. Maybe they're only 3 feet tall. That's stunting. They have stopped growing. But beyond height, stunting can negatively affect a child's brain function, can affect a child's organ development, immune system. It limits their future productivity and even that of their children. That's what stunting is. In effect, stunting can live on through the generations like a sad inheritance. And when it comes to spiritual growth, stunting can go on to our children's children, right on down the family line. Stunting. Stop growing spiritually. So we can surmise that the failure to grow spiritually is equally as tragic. You know, we experience people that have been in Christ all of their life that are spiritually retarded and spiritually stunted. You know, we know of Christians who don't read their Bible. Don't read their Bible like they need to, like they should. But we're learning, we're growing. We still have saints that have been converted and still have the same character that they've had before the conversion. There's no renewing of the mind, no transforming. We have saints that still curse people out of one side of their mouth and bless people out of the other side. You may have seen it or you may even partake in it. Oh, here comes such and such. I can't stand them. Y'all have a blessed day. Out of the same mouth, blessings and curses. We have saints that people know us for our angered behaviors. They call us angry birds. And I'm not talking about the video game that kids like to play. If you are known as an angry bird, you need to make some changes. People know us for our moodiness. Sometimes we're sad, sometimes we're mad, sometimes we're gloomy. You know, I know it's cloudy outside today, and that's the typical weather in England, but we don't have to be gloomy. We don't have to be blue. In fact, we're seldom and rarely happy as Christians. People know us from our isolation. We're hermits, loners. We don't like to socialize. We don't like to fellowship with one another. But we look at the story in the life of Jesus. Jesus, he socialized. He fellowshiped with every class of society. Upper class, middle class, lower class. But yet we say we are righteous and we represent the very embodiment of Christ. There's no forward movement up, and there's no downward movement of our roots going deep into the foundation of Jesus. See, folks, we need to constantly check ourselves that if we have not grown any better than last year, any better than last month, if we have not grown any better than last week, than yesterday, then something in our life is off track. Something is in error. We need to grow. Here's what the Bible says about the righteous. About the righteous growing. If you will, turn your attention to Psalms 92, verse 12 through 14. We'll see what the Bible says about how the righteous should grow. And the Bible says that the righteous shall flourish like a palm tree. He should grow like a cedar in Lebanon. Those who are planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. They shall still bear fruit in old age. They shall be fresh and flourishing. The righteous is devoted as one who is holy in heart and observant of the divine commands, the commands to love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all their mind, with all their strength, and to love thy neighbor as thyself. That is a righteous man. The righteous fear God. The righteous love God. The righteous glorify God. The righteous understands, just as John the Baptist understood, that he must decrease while Jesus be increased in our lives. What is it to flourish? How should the righteous flourish? Flourishing is to thrive, to grow luxuriantly, to increase and enlarge as a healthy, growing plant. There's that plant again. Here's number two. How flourishing is defined. And we all tend to like this one here. To be prosperous. To increase in wealth. To increase in wealth or honor. We love that one. But here's the one I like. Number three. To grow in grace and good works. That's flourishing. The verse goes on to say the righteous should flourish like the palm tree and like the cedar in Lebanon. That's the essence of a Christian life. We should be like that palm tree. We should be like that cedar tree. In respect to growing upwardly, heavenly, and being rooted deep, deep, deep into the foundation of Jesus Christ. Let me give you some characteristics of a palm tree. There's many characteristics of and associations of the palm tree and the cedar tree in the Christian community. But I want to stick with two, with the height and the depth of the roots. The palm tree lives and thrives where everything else might perish. The palm tree resembles a telegraph pole and goes high into the sky. It stays rooted in land whether the ground is fertile or not. The palm tree. Whatever the weather conditions, the palm tree is not affected by it in any way until it's cut down. I didn't know that about the palm tree. Rains may fall, storms may shake and sway the tree with great force, but nothing happens to the palm tree. My neighbor, just right over here, they have a palm tree in their rear garden. And every time I go out of my rear garden, I can see that palm tree. And we've been there in that place now for 3 years. And I remember someone telling us that when they planted that palm tree before we got there, I don't know when, how long before we got there, but someone told my neighbor that the palm tree would not make it for a year. But that palm tree is there, right over there, thriving still yet today. That's the palm tree. The cedar tree in Lebanon, they grow on the mountain. They maintain their leaves all year round. But here's the interesting thing about this cedar of Lebanon. The cedar of Lebanon has deep roots. For every 10 feet above the ground, the cedar of Lebanon roots go down 30 feet underground. 30 feet. Some of them grow up to be 120 feet tall. Imagine that. You do the math. 120 feet times 30 roots that are in the ground. That tree is founded in good soil and anchored. This is how we should live. This is how our lives should be spiritually. Our growth should be heavenly. And our growth should be rooted in the foundation, deep in the foundation of Jesus Christ. You know, individual growth is good, but I believe that God ultimately is coming back for a body, the body of Christ, the body of believers, the body of followers of Christ Jesus. He wants that spiritual body. Colossians, if you will, turn to Colossians 2, verse 19. And I'm going to just move right on. The verse says that, and not holding fast to the head. Talking about false teachers during this time. Not being connected to the head, from whom all the body, nourished and knit together by joints and ligaments, grows with the increase that comes from God. This illustrates that God wants the body to grow together, where the head, Jesus Christ, distributes. If we remain faithful and connected to Jesus, who is our head, then God will give us the increase to grow spiritually. I have two more verses, or a few more verses, we'll see, and we'll be finished. Turn your attentions for me, if you will, to John 15 and 5. Now, this is my signature scripture here, my signature passage. John 15 and 5, the true vine. And the word of God says that I am the vine, you are the branches. If you abide in me and I in you, you should bear much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. Now in this vine illustration, God is the vineyard keeper. He's the keeper of the vineyard. Jesus is the vine and we are the branches. The vine supplies everything. If we stay connected to the vine, it supplies everything that the branches need to produce good fruit. But without the vine, there's nothing that we can do. Nothing that we can do. The vine works much like our hearts. Our hearts are the main distributor of the much-needed blood and oxygen that goes to every ligament, every member, every part of the body. That's the heart. And Jesus, spiritually, is that source for us, that head that distributes everything that we need to his body in order for it to grow. Ephesians 4, verses 15 and 16 tells us this. But speaking the truth speaking the truth, God's word, there's no other truth. Speaking the truth in love, not having hate, any animosity, speaking the truth, God's word in love, may grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share. Sounds like fellowship. That causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. This means that every part and joint provides what it can supply in a coordinated effort in the love of God. So, how do we get there? How do we get there? And we've talked about it. John 14 and 6 tells us where the word says, I am the truth. I am the way. I am the life. Life. I am the growth. I am the life. I am your growth. We get there through discipleship. We get there through fearing God. We get there through loving God, glorifying God. I think those are some central keys of growing in God. Discipleship is the process of being continually conformed into the image of Christ for God's glory. As we learn to be more like him, think of the apostles, the disciples, how they gave up everything, their professions, to follow Christ. Ask ourselves this: are we prepared today to give up everything, to surrender all, and follow God? I believe that when the church can fear God, the Bible let us know that fear is the beginning of knowledge. You know, in the beginning, Adam had no knowledge of his nakedness until he sinned. He had no knowledge of his nakedness until he sinned. And at that point, he began to fear God. When God came down looking for Adam, he couldn't find him. Adam, where are you? Adam was afraid to come out because he was naked. God told him, who told you you was naked? How do you know that? The tree of knowledge of good and evil. Prior to the fall, Adam had no reason to fear God because he was eternally connected to him. And as a result, we all fear God. That's that knowledge of being disconnected should be frightening. Jesus demonstrated that in the Garden of Gethsemane. Before he went to crucifixion, before he went to the cross, bearing the sins of all the world would be frightful enough for most of us. Bearing the sins, all of the wickedness, all of the iniquities, taking that upon yourself, knowing that you were going to the cross to bear. But that was no way near as fearful as it was for him to know that because of bearing those sins, that he will be separated from God, his Father, from the one that he know that is truth and that is life, the one that has loved him from all of his life, to be cast out of light into darkness. That's fear. That's fear of the Lord. That's the beginning of knowledge. Love God. Love God with all of our hearts, mind, and all of our strength. The greatest commandment. Love our neighbors as ourselves. It is like the first commandment. Those are the two commandments. If we get that right, all of the other ones, they hang on that. They hang on that law. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. Love God like that. Unconditional love. Uncompromising love. Love him whether we're sick or whether we're well. Love him whether we're diseased or not diseased. Love him whether we're going through a storm or coming out of a storm. Love him whether the world is in chaos, someone died, a family member has passed on. But love him uncompromisingly, unconditionally. And glorify God. Never let man raise us up or to have the ambition and all of the accomplishments and achievements. Man lay raise you up, he can bring you down. But let man know, thank you. But then go and let God know, I glorify you, God. I glorify you. I thank you, Father. For I am nothing without you, Christ Jesus. And remember, when we glorify God, we're saying that we decrease, with Jesus increase in our life. When the church can practice these things, fear God, love God, glorify God, discipleship, vine connection, being connected to the vine, having love for one another and love for God, then God will grow the body of believers to the point that we can start seeing good works and start doing good works. And we can start seeing the likes of miracles and wonders and signs in the body of Christ. In closing, I'd like to add this. Just like the tree that is pruned, it is pruned to allow for new growth. Off with the old and on with the new. We constantly need to prune ourselves, our lives. Some old bad habits need to be dropped off and kicked to the curb. Some of us need to move out of the hood, as you will, in the ghetto, where everything is man-made, and that's all we see is man-made, and people are fighting and vying for territory and turf, and move back to the rural areas in the communities where people get along and you're friendly with your neighbors, you love one another, and we can see the splendor of God in nature and see his awesomeness. Be reminded of that. Be reminded of God. That's why I loved about Alaska. You can just look out your front door, your rear door, and see the wonder of the mountains, big and bold, and you know that God had a hand in it. I leave with this verse, James 4:10. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he will lift you up. Now, if you will, bow your heads and pray with me. Father God, I thank you, Lord, for the word that you have deposited. We believe, God, that your word fell on good ground and it will cause growth in our spiritual lives. We thank you for your word, God. Lord, we want to be practitioners of your word. Thank you for blessing us this day, God. We ask you, Lord, that you keep us, Father God, that your word sustain us, Father, that we can be called out, God, to go into the streets, to go into the homes, to go as we visit our families and share the good news. Share the good news of Jesus Christ.